Hi, welcome to another edition of Just Friends. I'm your host and panelist for today, Andre Huey, and I'm here with Just Friends, Mr. Karen, Nicole, Pastor Donna, and Pastor Riddell. We want to thank you, first of all, for viewing the first episode and the responses we've got. We have been quite overwhelming. We want to thank you very much for your support, and we only look to get better and better as we go forward. And so this show, of course, we're in a much more relaxed setting. We really are quite relaxed here today, and we have a very interesting topic to discuss with you today. The last time we introduced everyone, so we won't need to go into any lengthy introductions this time around. You now know who we are. We are just friends with you as well. And today we'll be looking at a very interesting topic. The topic is, where has kindness gone? Yeah, we live in a mean world today. People are not as kind as they used to be. So we want to explore that topic today. And so we'll be looking into it in quite depth. All right, friends, where has kindness gone? People are not kind like they used to be. Pastor, you understand?
I think that people have a lot of problems, a lot of issues. I say all the time that everybody has problems. I mean, no matter how you see people all dressed up or all made up, how much they smile and whatnot, people have problems. But I think that a lot of times people don't know how to deal with their issues, and so they take it out on other people. You go to the store and you simply say good morning and you ask about something, and the attitude is, it's out there. You want to know, well, what happened? What did I say wrong? What did I do wrong? You know, and so I think a big part of it is that people have problems and not knowing how to deal with their issues. And I'd like to say also that in addition to that, there is also an absence of God in many people's lives, because God will bring peace and God will bring joy. He gives joy unspeakable. He gives peace in the midst of any situation that we can face. And so, you know, I think that once people are not living, having God in their lives, that they're lost. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. They just don't know what to do. And so we see a lack of kindness.
And, you know, as you talk about that too, Pastor, I remember of this scripture in Proverbs, that a soft answer turneth away wrath, mm-hmm. where grievous words stir up anger. So when you get a negative response, you meet that negative response with another negative response, and it's like you're throwing gas on the fire, essentially. Yeah, so it creates even more animosity and more unkindness. Wow. Yeah.
I will never forget that I was at the, I won't say which department it was, but it was a public utilities department. And I went to ask a question, to inquire about my bill. And I could sense that the lady who was there to deal with me was troubled. So I said to her, how you doing? You know, is everything okay? She said, Miss, just tell me what you're coming here for.
Wow.
And sometimes, but the truth of the matter is, as they say, hurt people.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't know, Pastor Donna says it all the time, we don't know the hell that some people are coming out of. And just for them to come out of the door and show up on the job, that's a miracle for them.
Yeah.
Because they're dealing with some persons are dealing with horrific situations in their back life, in their back story at home, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that it is really important to remember that what we're seeing is not the whole story.
Yeah.
It's just a little shadow of what is going on.
Yeah, that is so true.
I also think that one of the things that lend to how we respond to each other in society is we are so glued to the television or the computer screen, and then we look at these movie and the movie lifestyle, because sometimes it's not even real. The movie kind of lifestyle is rubs off on us, whether we see it or want to accept it, it becomes a part of who we are, and then we realize we start behaving the way we see the movie stars behave on the TV shows, and you know, we want to mimic that lifestyle. And instead of being the people who we used to be back then, if you look at it, We used to pitch marble. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about a smartphone. We pitch marble and we tweak twines together. Or we get the elastic out of your mother's slip and you tie them together. And you play Mississippi. So those days you were more outdoor. You had to be kind. Your company was, you had 12 cousins. So you didn't even needed to, the influence of an outside person wasn't so strong because I have 12 cousins to play with.
Yeah.
And so we pitch marble, we play Mississippi, we go down the bay, we pull up the boat, we look for the fish, you bring home the fish, you give it to your grandmother to fry, you eat and you're happy. Your neighbor could have called and say, tell your mother I want some bahaya. Oh, and bring a bottle of salt for me. And the kindness was just given to them. Now you can't look over the fence because the wall is so high.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point. I think, you know, the more, and while social media has brought a lot of value, I think it does also cause a lot of harm. Because what you find is that people are no longer, social media is a misnomer because you're not really social with social media.
Yeah.
Because you're now interacting with people more digitally than you are in person. Mm-hmm. When was the last time two people actually met and had a conversation? And it didn't involve WhatsApp. And it didn't involve Facebook or Instagram. You know, and I think because of that too, people's social skills also have gone down because you don't know how to relate to people. I mean, even how you talk on social media, BRB, yeah. LOL.
Yeah.
Those are not even words.
So we're losing our personal touch. That personal touch. I was just about to say that. We're losing that personal touch where instead of being intentionally kind, we could fake our kindness over the cell phones, over social media. I can tell you I love you over social media because I'm not seeing you. But to send
a heart emoji. You don't have to say I love you.
Yeah.
A heart emoji.
But to come in front of you,
face to face,
eye to eye, heart to heart, and say, I'm concerned about you. I'm looking out for your well-being. It's hard.
You know, I think it's this trigger now. I believe other things were going on. And I'm talking about that situation at the award show where Chris Rock made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife. And Will Smith goes up and, you know,
smacks him in the
face. Yeah, gives him a blow to the face. And I think that knee-jerk reaction is too often what we are seeing in terms of what's happening in society. And it didn't just start now. I remember that back in the day, something happened and man gone for the cutlass. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
And this is in school, you know? Or they go home and they get something and they come back and deal with the person. So we have to be so careful, as you say, what we are absorbing, what we are taking in on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Okay, why do I think there's a lack of kindness in our society today? So what I did, I broke it down in some segments. Pastor D, you kind of touched on the topic a little bit. The first thing I said is negative life experiences. People have experienced so much in life, and because of that, like you said, there's no avenue to express. They don't know how to express, and they don't know how to deal with their issues. Maybe they may have had a tough time in life. Maybe their hearts had become so hardened from whatever it is that they had experienced. Maybe for the younger ones, they're experiencing peer pressure. They don't know how to deal with it. Maybe they had been rejected by a father or a mother. Maybe they see themselves as a black sheep of the family. It could be so many things. Maybe they experience a death of a loved one, divorce, bad relationships, loss of a job, especially 2 years ago or 3 years ago, we experienced COVID. So many people lost their jobs and they didn't know how to deal with that. And I think that our society has even grew more depressed and just don't know how to express themselves. Maybe they experience a natural disaster where they lost their homes. Loss and grief can cause you to become angry. And there are so many stages. There are stages of grief. You move from anger, you go into depression, you go into denial. And I think that could be one of the reasons why there's a lack of kindness. You could have been that you experienced trauma. Maybe you were abused in your home when you were younger. There are so many issues, as you said, Pastor D, and people just don't know how to deal with these issues. And then I said it could be nurture or search social orientation, meaning that you can be an individual who grew up in a physical or emotional environment, physical or emotionally abusive environment. And that alone causes you to become abusive. The chances of you becoming abusive is much higher. You're at a higher percentage rate than someone else. You can say to yourself, you know, I want to be different. But at the same time, there's so much going. Children learn from what they see. You've seen your mother or your father being abused, and you just absorb that, because children are like sponge. They imitate what they see. And as growing, they're seeing that their mother being physically abused, the father is verbally abusive, calling down the mother, and it just becomes a part of them, and they become angry.
And just to add in there, it's either the person can become an abuser, yes, or the person becomes the victim. So they facilitate that kind of behavior.
That is so true, Minister Karen. And then there's the biggest issue, which I think right now in our society is your economic or socioeconomic status. People are experiencing financial burdens. They may be in a situation of poverty, or maybe they are working, but they're just not meeting the basic needs of providing for their children, providing for their family, or even to pay the bills. And that can be a big burden. If you don't know where your next meal is going to come from, you walk around angry. You walk around angry, or you walk around depressed. It's either end of the scale.
But one of the things that you always hear is that a hungry man
is an angry man.
That's a very good point. And even me, when I'm hungry, I get very angry, and I did not realize it until someone pointed it out to me. So, hunger.
May I jump in there? Pastor Charles Stanley, he recently passed away. An old Baptist, Southern Baptist preacher, one of my mentors. And I've said it before, but he said it and I never forgot it. He said, be very careful. He said, H-A-L-T. Don't allow yourself to get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired.
I love that.
because those are trigger points for most people. You know, and just as you said, people are going through so many different types of life situations. I think frustration is a major one. You're trying your best, you're trying to do your best, and yet nothing is shifting, or nothing seems to be changing. And then you have some bright, bubbly person come in front of you and tell you, how are you doing? And you just let off.
That's true. Because you're wondering, Where does that person find that joy, that happiness? How could it be that that person is walking around feeling so happy and I am walking around feeling so angry?
Yes. Yes.
And it's like the, sorry.
That's okay.
It's like the Jamaican song that says something about me not sitting up here for smile.
Oh, when it's
look upon the riverside.
There's a smile for.
And so that brings me to my last point. I had another point, but I'm going to skip that one over. Pastor D mentioned it. She said that there's a lack of God. And if there's a lack of God, there's a lack of identity. And so people don't know who they are.
Yeah.
They're walking around trying their best to fit in,
yes,
into spaces that they don't belong, to fit in into conditions, to fit in to be accepted, especially our youths, our young generation right now. They're looking for an avenue to be able to fit in and to be able to recognize. If you don't know who God is, you're not going to know exactly who you are and who you've been called for, your purpose. And so that can be a factor as to why people are so angry.
Sometimes, even in our own lives, in my own life, sometimes I'm upset and sometimes I don't know why I'm upset.
Yeah.
And you just don't want to, you don't want to talk to anybody. And
yeah,
that is a major issue, especially for men, because men, you know, women will talk to each other. Men usually
sometimes
don't. Yeah, sometimes. That's a good point. But yeah, but men generally don't speak to anybody. And for some men, it is even unnatural to even to suggest the thought of them seeing a therapist or seeing somebody. Mm-hmm. Because
yes,
as Caribbean people especially,
yeah,
we tend to have the impression that if you go and see a therapist,
you're
mad, you're crazy,
you're crazy,
something wrong with you. So you have no, you don't really want to do that, and you don't talk to anybody. You're just slamming the doors, and you're just angry at for no reason at all.
Bottling everything.
And you keep bottling it up, and people don't understand why your spouse don't understand why you're upset, why you're angry, why you're behaving this way. It's just the frustration, the things that build up over a period of time. And it just, unfortunately, in some cases, it leads to violence. And other people get hurt. And as you said, Minister Karen, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are dealing with a number of factors that lead people to be unkind and to act in unkind ways.
It's like we have a number of walking time bombs just going around, waiting to explode.
Yeah, you pulled this out of my head, you know.
You're welcome.
I'm there thinking about it because sometimes, like even in my own life, sometimes there is this thing that you're looking for the success. You're anticipating the success. And so you have this level of anxiety like, I don't want to fail. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people is going through that today. I don't want to fail. And so they're so busy about their own success that they forget to be kind to others around them.
Yeah. That's a very good point, Pastor Odell.
Is this singular thought in life that, you know, everybody has to be successful. You go for you identify what is your truth. That's a thought, no? Your truth and your identity and your success and your prosperity. And we become so caught up in us, mm-hmm. individually, that we forget about those around us. And in the pursuit of our success, you know, and there is also the thought, too, that in order for you to be successful, you have to bulldoze everybody in your who's in your way and get to the top.
That's true.
And so if it means pushing people aside, if it means don't care about anybody, just focus on you and your goal and keep your blinders on. I mean, success, there's room for success that also pulls others up with you as well. And I think, you know, this focus on just us and in the individual and trying to achieve that success individually. You at the same time you put others down.
But I think that sometimes it comes over as from a root of many times competitiveness, trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants their child to sometimes go to the more expensive schools and look the best and this and that. I must have, you know, this house and this in my house and drive this kind of vehicle. Because everybody wants to not look like they are the worst out there, you know what I mean? And so maybe sometimes people are so focus driven, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And so.
And there's good in it. There is good in the focus driven. But there are limits to it.
Yes, there's good in wanting to achieve, and that's what we are supposed to. But not to the point where you walk over other people and you be mean to other people, you know, in your climb to the top.
Right. Where we lose our humanity.
Yes.
Well, we are up on a break, our first break. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will continue the discussion. And we'll also look at it from a spiritual perspective as well. We'll see how we can come up with solutions from the Bible in how we can address the issues of kindness. Where has kindness gone? That's our topic for today. We'll be right back with more of Just Friends.
There was this controversial figure. Everywhere he went, people challenged him. They questioned his ideology, trolled him, called him ugly names. But he never took the bait, never raised his voice, refused to retaliate, because he believed he could change the world by turning the other cheek.
Maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. Take a look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see it clearer, or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human.
Welcome back to Just Friends. And just before the break, we were talking about kindness. Or, of course, our topic is, where has kindness gone? And we were looking at some of the various reasons as to why, you know, society is not as kind as it once was. And one of the points we made just before the break, we were talking about the pursuit of success and how sometimes as individuals in our pursuit of success, we sometimes walk over other people and sort of push them to the side. Now, I just want to make it clear. We're not saying that success is not important. We're not saying that you shouldn't have a singular drive or ambition to want to achieve success. But we're saying that in the process of doing that, you know, you should always also look out for other people and not only to, you know, think about ourselves. Not to be selfish in our pursuit of success. So that's essentially what I wanted to get across before we move to our next point.
Can I jump in there, Pastor Huey, just for a second? I can talk about myself. I may have certain goals. These are the things I want to accomplish today. Mm-hmm. And personally, I hate surprises. I hate for stuff to come in and interrupt. Although a lot of times that's the Lord coming and saying, hey, mm-hmm. right? So I often have to check. I have a natural tendency mm-hmm. to be impatient.
Yep.
And if I'm impatient, then I'm short with you. Like, yeah, it'd be cold. Hurry up. Mm-hmm. You understand? I know.
Right.
I do that. And then when I go back and I reflect and I say, Karen, that wasn't nice. That really wasn't nice. And that's not reflecting him. So I just wanted to add on.
No, that's
that.
True. And that's where Pastor Don talked about having God in your life. Because then God is the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the check light. Do you see on the engine in the vehicle? God is the check light. that brings to your attention that, hey, how you did? No, that's not us. And then you make amends. So yes, Nicole, we wanted to look also at, from a spiritual perspective as well, how we can deal with issues of unkindness.
Yes.
And to, you know, get people to be more kind and loving, so to speak.
Okay, so what I want to share is a little story from the Bible, and I also want to give a personal experience of how someone has been kind to me and which has changed my life. And it is of my belief that kindness is a virtue. It is an attribute of God. And so if we were made in his image, I think that it should be a characteristic for us. The Bible tells us many scriptures concerning kindness. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted,
forgiving one another,
forgiving. It says, therefore, in Colossians, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Yes. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also forgive them.
Beautiful.
And a whole bunch of others. And it is even a fruit of the Spirit, as we see in the Scripture. And if we are Christ's ambassadors, then we must exhibit and we must demonstrate kindness. So the first passage I want to speak about is concerning Tabitha or Dorcas, mm-hmm. which was found in Acts, and she was a disciple, but she was so kind. She helped the poor. She helped widows. She was gifted with her hands, and she used her craft to be kind to others. She made them garments, etc. And the story speaks about that, you know, she died, and Peter came. They went and called Peter. Peter came and prayed for her, and she was resurrected, and when Peter came, the widows and everyone was around her mourning because she had made such an impact on their lives that they were there mourning for her. Mm-hmm. I just want to be brief because I know the others have to speak. Mm-hmm. The one that I really want to focus on is on David, how he was kind to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. Yes.
Mephi.
Yes. David and Jonathan were best friends and they made a covenant. And in this passage of scripture, David asked a question. Is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a response. There were two. There was Ziba and there was Mephibosheth. But I'm going to focus on Mephibosheth. Mm-hmm. Mephibosheth was his legs were crippled and he had lost hope. And the kindness that David bestowed on him gave him hope. And so we have to be kind because kindness offers hope to the hopeless.
Amen.
And he considered himself as a dead dog. So he saw himself mm. as a in a hopeless situation, poor, and there was nothing going for him. In Lodibar. And because David was so kind to him, David extended his kindness and it changed the trajectory of his life forever. Yes. Yes. David said that he would sit at the king's table and eat as his son for the rest of his life.
Wow.
God is calling sons and daughters.
Amen.
And he is using us to call sons and daughters to eat at his table one day in heaven.
Nicole, you finished?
Go ahead, go ahead.
You spring something in me just now, because when you said that Mephibosheth is going to sit at the king's table,
yes,
it tells me that there is a prophetic release in the act of kindness.
Yes.
Kindness pushes us into places and positions where us on our own, by
yes.
ourselves, with our
we
own attitude,
reach.
We would never reach there.
Amen.
But just because of our kindness, our one act of kindness, it prophetically pushes us into the position where we need to be.
That's
yes.
powerful.
And even now we pray that our names are being mentioned by kings and people of authority and
in
stuff like
way.
That in a good oh, yes. way.
In a good way.
So you may not have everything in life, but you may not have everything going for you. You may not have the money, you may not have the house, you may not have the car, but you can be kind.
Mm-hmm.
You can be kind as a response to the evil and everything else that is happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I want to share about my own personal testimony of where someone has been kind to me. As a teenager, I remember being at home and there was a disagreement between me and my mom. I wouldn't even call it a disagreement. My mom went to work. She left me at home with my twin brothers. And, you know, children, when they're small, they don't want to eat. I keep asking them, you guys come and eat. Because, you know, when my mother come home, you know how she going to get on. And they would say, you know, I'm not hungry. Until I looked down the road and I saw my mother coming up the road. And she got so angry. She started beating me, etc. And she threw me out of the house. And in reflection, I was very angry. And that caused so much things in my life. But in reflection and looking at this topic and all the other issues, what people go through, maybe my mother was going through something. Maybe she had financial burdens. Maybe
yeah.
she had a root
yeah.
cause.
Yeah.
And she just responded.
That's it.
And
yeah.
threw me out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend and her mom. She called her mom. She didn't even hesitate. She said, you know, she can come and live with us. And I packed my bag that day. Because she just threw out everything outside. And I went to live with a lady called Michelle Richards. She was a nurse. And can I tell you that that one act of kindness also changed the trajectory of my life forever.
Yes. Yes.
She encouraged me. She recognized that I was someone who liked to help people. And she was the one who encouraged me to go into nursing. And because of that, I am still a nurse today.
Mm.
She has made such an impact on my life because of that one act of
wow.
kindness.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
Wow,
so we can see where your kindness has gone.
Yes.
Yes. And so I just want to encourage individuals to, you know, be kind. Leave a legacy
yes,
of kindness.
It.
Because when you die, what would you want people to say about you? I remember being at my grandfather's funeral. Pastor Didi was there too. Edgar Gilbert, he died. And they had a section where people would go up and give their tributes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kept going up and everybody just kept talking of how my grandfather impacted their life. And as I'm sitting there, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and
mm-hmm.
asking me, what would be your legacy
yes.
when you die?
Wow.
And I just sat there and tears started coming down my eye because I want to leave a legacy. I don't want to be remembered. Oh, she was beautiful. She was a nurse. I want to be remembered for the things that I have done for God through my acts of kindness.
Amen.
That's a very good point. And you know, as you talk about that, the thought that comes to mind is legacy of kindness.
Yes.
Yes.
Leave a legacy of kindness.
Amen.
My mother was somebody like that too. She always wanted to help people. I mean, so many people grew up in our house. I have brothers and sisters who are like adopted brothers and sisters because of the kindness she showed. They came, they lived with her. She raised them just like she would raise her own children. And I remember when at her funeral, when we were giving tributes, one of the things that always came up, if she was cooking, and she had her plate of food. And somebody came, people always come in, they always come when she cook because they know they're going to get food.
Yes.
So I remember, we all agreed when, you know, at her funeral, if someone came by the house and the only food she had left was the plate she was eating, she would give that plate to that person and go without food. Wow. She's diabetic. So, you know, diabetic people always have to eat and all that. But she was that kind of person. She was the kind of person always wanted to help. And by extension, myself and my siblings, we always look at opportunities to help people because we realize that, and she always used to say that good follows good. So the kindness you show, it will come back to you. So whenever we had or saw an opportunity to help people, we always remember her and we try to help because in legacy of the legacy she left with us and my father as well, because he would also try to help people. We always thought to do the same thing. So whenever we saw people who needed help, anywhere we could, we try to help because that's how our mother raised us up. So yes, legacy, and the legacy of kindness.
Legacy. And even when you made reference to that, Jesus is our example and mm-hmm. he left a great legacy
yep.
during his ministry here on earth. And every act of kindness came with a lesson. His greatest method of teaching was by example. And from his very first miracle of turning water into wine, to feeding the 5,000, mm-hmm. to his greatest act of kindness, of offering his life on the cross for us, just so that we could dwell with him in paradise one day. I mean, he is like the perfect example for us to follow and live by.
And that's why the scripture always says, when he saw the multitude, he looked and he had compassion.
Don't get ahead of yourself, Pastor. Don't get ahead of yourself. Go ahead.
He had compassion upon them. And because what? He saw them as what? Sheep that had no shepherd.
That's so powerful.
As Nicole was saying that, I was thinking on, as I said, I identify more with the bad girls of the Bible. And two of those situations came to me as I was, you know, reflecting on this topic. And one was in John chapter 4, where Jesus made a specific and special detour to go through the unpopular town of Samaria, the city of Samaria. Why? Because he had to have an encounter with someone who needed to experience the abundance of the kindness that he had to bestow. And even as we were sitting here this morning and I was thinking about it, and I said, you know something? Jesus was deliberate. He sent the disciples off into the town.
Yes.
And I believe one of the reasons why he did that is that he did not necessarily want to expose everything that she had done, that she had encountered, to them. Because in and of itself, it wasn't their business, that aspect. Of course, I think that came out later on. But in that moment, he needed to have a one-on-one encounter. And even though he knew all the details of her mess, you know, they started a conversation and he says he can give her everlasting water. You know, a water that will never, water from a well that would not run dry. And she says, give me that water. And he says to her, miss, go and call your husband. And the conversation shifted right away. And she said, I have no husband. And he said, you said it. As a matter of fact, you have had 5 husbands, and the man that you're with now is not your husband. Ooh. Mic drop.
Wow.
You understand? And so right then she knew, my goodness, this man has been reading my mail, right? And that he knew personal and intimate details about her. And he then had the power. Remember, we were talking about abuse of power a few minutes ago. He had the power to crush her at that moment. But instead of crushing her, he extends his hand to her. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's saying, just as he said to the woman taken in adultery, look, I am offering you a different way. Mm-hmm. A way in which that It will change the trajectory of your life.
Yes, forever.
You understand? And to me, just the power of his presence and his kindness was enough for this woman to say, run into the city. And the same people she had been avoiding to go and tell them, come see a man who told me everything that I'd ever done. Is this not the Messiah? Yes. You know, and to me that is just as Nicole was saying, that is the power of the example of Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why we have to be kind, because our master has gone ahead and he says, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Amen. I liked what you said even about the fact that Jesus did not, as we would say, like, lambaste her business and her failures out there. In fact, he allowed, like you said, the disciples to go away.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they did not have the opportunity to hear the negative things about how her life has been. And yes. I think even as we are talking about kindness, I think this is important, because we have a dimension where people blast people on Facebook,
Lord have mercy,
and social media, mm-hmm. and say all kinds of negative things about people. And so sometimes people don't even want people to know their business or to know the deep, dirty things. And then we tend to forget that all of us have deep, dirty things. Mm-hmm. All of us have skeletons in the closet.
Not even church people we want to know.
You understand?
Yep. Especially, I mean, church people.
Whether it is that you are a worldly person, a sinner, or if you are a church person, we all have our issues, like yes. we began saying.
Yes.
And so I think even as we are talking about kindness, that is something that we need to be kind in. When it comes to the status, mm-hmm. the dimension of the status on the WhatsApp, a lot of times people use that like as a weapon.
Yes,
and that they is say so bad true.
Words.
They throw words without calling name and stuff.
Mercy.
And then the people are left broken, feeling so bad, feeling wounded. You understand? And so we have to show kindness even on social media.
That is it.
And if I'm go ahead.
Well, I was going to make the point to Pastor that I think it goes back to the point I was making earlier about the lack of interpersonal skills. If I have an issue with you or you have an issue with me, come and tell me.
Yes.
Let us talk about it. I don't have horns. I'm not going to butt you. Right? Let us have a conversation, because this thing about throwing words, I don't have time for that, really and truly. If you have an issue with me, come and tell me. Don't blast it out on social media. Come and tell me what the issue is. Let's have a conversation. If I am wrong, I will tell you I am wrong, and I will apologize and try to make amends. And if you are wrong, I expect you to do the same thing. But to put out on blast and putting people on blast, I just think it's part of the whole kindness issue and the lack of you know, having that relationship with people to come and say to somebody, well, look, I don't like what you said. I don't like what you did. I was offended by it. And you know, even if you didn't mean to offend, sometimes things can rub people the wrong way.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
And you didn't realize, because that was not your intention. And, you know, be the big man or the big woman and apologize and make amends.
And it comes right back to what the scripture says. The golden rule, do unto others as you yourself would like them to do unto you. You don't want anybody to blast you out there and bring all your dirty laundry and, as they say, rinse you out there in public. So, I mean, it's not right that just like how you would be, you know, you would be wounded. Other people would be wounded too. It hurts.
And I think it comes with, as Pastor Hugh was explaining, I think today why people can't be kind is because it comes with a level of integrity. People don't have the integrity to come and say, you hurt me.
Yes.
They prefer to hide behind the mechanisms of social media because they don't have the integrity. What the Bible teaches, integrity. He says, if you know that your brother have a fault with you, leave your gift at the altar, go and make it right with your brethren, and then when it is right, come back and give your gift at the altar. It's a level of integrity that is lacking in society today. The Word of God teaches us that kindness comes out of a heart of love. Love is kind. And so if there is no love, There's no kindness.
It comes
from love. It comes also from when the scripture says, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and love, considering yourself, lest ye fall in the same way.
Yeah. I think sometimes we want to restore in a spirit of criticism and judgment. Lord, help us. Mm.
Hold that point, Mr. Karen, because I think that's a good segue into the next segment. Yes. We're going to close off this segment now. We'll take a break and come right back. We'll hear from our sponsor, and we'll have more discussion here on Just Friends as we discuss the topic of where has kindness gone? Welcome back to Just Friends. We're in our final segment of the show. We've been discussing the topic of where's kindness gone? And we've been looking at that topic in very extensively. In fact, there's some talk that we might need to have a part two because of how intense the discussion is. But just before the break, Minister Karen was making a point of persons who like to restore in a spirit of criticism and judgment. Restore as in, you know, trying to restore relationships, repair relationships, but still very critical and judgmental in doing so.
And I think that part of the problem with that, well, let's give an example. So, sister whoever has done whatever, and the church or the church leadership, I'm not saying here, the church leadership is so focused on having her come and stand up in front of the congregation, and they go through all the length and breadth and height and depth of what she did wrong. And then the focus there is more on the magnitude of the sin rather than the magnitude of the Savior and his forgiveness. Because that is something that, as Pastor Donna said, we all go through. We've all fallen short, right? And we all need a Savior to restore us, not just once, but over and over and over
again.
That's
usually the general practice of most churches, but a lot of churches tend to do that, though. They tend to say, they call out or read out, as we say in colloquial terms, persons, and so they have to go up and they have to present their fault to the entire congregation. And that's it. Yeah.
And guess what? Flies are sooner won by honey than by vinegar, meaning you're not going to draw anybody to Christ and to this lifestyle by you, how judgmental you are. But it is when you pour out love and compassion and grace. Grace is what Jesus poured out at the woman, on the woman at the well. Grace is what he poured out on the woman caught in adultery. And those were the things that helped to draw the crowds to him. Because, of anybody alive, he was the one who could have taken out the biggest.
Mike, it keeps coming off. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it battery? No.
So.
Yeah.
From which point?
Grace.
Grace is what makes the difference. Grace is what Jesus poured out on the woman caught in adultery, and grace is what attracted the crowds to him, because he, above all other persons alive, had the right to bring the biggest hammer and throw the biggest stones. And yet, he restrained his hands. Mm-hmm. And he said, he who among you is without sin, throw the first stone.
Yep.
Yeah. I just want to add 2 points. I like, in those 2 stories, right? What came to my mind is, if you realize, the woman was caught in the act of adultery, right? And the woman at the well had 5 husbands.
Yeah.
I like that Jesus used, and the Bible presented those 2 scenarios, right? Because in our society, we feel that sexual sin is the biggest kind of sin. And Jesus, or the Bible, presented those 2 so that we can see and people can see that there is no sin so great that God can't forgive.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good point. Well, we also want to look at some practical ways in which we can help people to be more kind. I know, as we started at the start of the show, that, you know, people are stressed. There are a lot of problems going on. People are frustrated. And they sometimes take out that frustration on others. And, you know, we tend to have a more unkind approach because of that. But what are ways in which we can practically help people, whether through recommendation, advice, whatever it is, to be more kind and to really, you know, show more love and kindness to each other? Nicole?
Amen. Okay, how do we assist people to get back to kindness? As I want to continue from what Pastor Woodell first mentioned, that kindness is rooted in love. And all the things and the reasons we have discussed today, listing out why we think people are unkind, one of the reasons why I think they are unkind is because society lacks compassion. And we can fix all the problems. We can fix the financial problems. We can fix the broken homes. We can fix the loss of jobs. We can treat people with illnesses, terminal illnesses. But how do we treat a society who lacks compassion? Mm. How do we fix a society who does not have love? And I remember being in the office one day, and I had a similar conversation of that with my boss. And the question was asked, and the answer to that is love. Our society lacks love. Our society lacks patience. Our society lacks forgiveness. Our society lacks everything that concerns love. And it may sound impossible, but it actually isn't impossible. So in doing my research, I recognized that what I did, I draw a diagram and I drew a house and I call the house kindness. And then I draw a door, and to get to kindness, you have to go through a door of compassion. Mm. Once you go through that door, inside of the house, there's forgiveness, there's patience, there's mercy, as Minister Karen said, grace and mercy. Because to be kind, you must be forgiving.
Yes.
To be kind, you must have patience. To be kind, you must be merciful. But on the foundation of that house is love. So that is what I drew in my mind. And I was asked the question, can you be kind with love, without love? And can you love without being kind? And that question caused my mind to just, it was a thought-provoking question. It caused my mind to go into a whole series of things. And I came up with some answers to the question. We can do a whole bunch of deeds, a whole bunch of acts. But if our intent behind the acts is not pure, then it doesn't count. Because as Pastor Woodell was saying, or Pastor Donna, I'm not sure, that you can do things, but you could just smile, but you ain't really smiling on the inside. I remember Pastor Lee was saying that you were talking to somebody that was smiling, but you just felt like a growling on the inside. You can pay somebody a compliment on social media, but you don't really mean it. And so the first thing that I said is that it begins with a self-assessment. You first have to look at yourself. You have to be honest. You have to assess yourself and do some introspection. Ask yourself, am I a kind person? Do I have love? And in doing so, you are now recognizing that there's a problem. Because if you want to fix a problem, you first have to identify that there is actually a problem. So you can do a whole bunch of things. You could maybe feed the poor, assist with a child who is in need. You could do so many acts. But if those acts are not pure, then it doesn't count, as I said earlier. So begin with self-assessment and then choose love always. Pastor D loves to say, love God and love people, because that is actually the greatest commandment. Love God and love people. So choose love above everything else. If you find yourself in a situation, you're angry or whatever, choose love regardless, because acts of kindness are done even when the situation is hard. You still have to be kind. The third thing I had is to be non-judgmental, as Minister Karen said. You have to make a conscious effort to not judge people, to see people through the eyes of God, to see people as being valuable people. Fourth, you can be an encourager. You can encourage others. You could write encouraging notes. You could write encouraging letters. And finally, you can pray. Prayer never fails. So along with all the physical acts that you can do these, which are more meaningful, so that when you actually go out and do the deeds, they actually count. You pray for families, pray for individuals, pray for homes, pray for societies, pray for situations, mm-hmm. pray about everything. And my final advice to the audience is, I like to write love letters. Mm-hmm. And so I asked myself, I said, if God had to write a love letter to the people watching and listening this show, I believe this is what he'd say. He would say, my beloved people, love without boundaries, love without fear, love without doubt, love without expectations, love without seeking reward, love endlessly, love as I would love, which is without conditions and without requirements. Love always, Abba. Because the truth is, love is expressed through kindness, and kindness is an evidence or a fruit of love.
Wow.
That's my answer.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
Nicole has been talking a lot about love, and that is the point that I really want to promote, because Jesus and his disciples, they were in a discussion, and they were asking him, you know, Lord, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And he made it clear to them that the greatest commandment is two-part. It says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. Love God, love me. And then the second part is, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that if we were to really fashion our lives like this, to love God first and foremost, because remember, even when we started earlier, you know, I made the point that I feel that people are not kind a lot of the times because God is not, you know, a big part of their lives. God has been deleted. God has been eliminated. God is not even in the thoughts. And so because of that, people find it hard to love other people and to be nice to other people, because the thing is, God himself is the essence of love. And if we have God living in our hearts, I mean, without fail, love is what is going to emanate from us, so that we would be able to love our brothers, love our sisters. You know, everybody is not going to be nice. Everybody is not going to be as we want them to be. Everybody not even going to be like us. But it is God living in us that helps us to love other people. And just imagine that Jesus said that this commandment that he is giving, love God, love people. He said that commandment, how should I put it? That commandment envelops all the other commandments. All the other commandments that says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit fornication. That Jesus is saying that all of those other commandments hang on this one commandment. Wow. This one commandment is paramount. You understand? Because if we are able to love God, mm-hmm. we will be able to love each other. And it will not be so hard. So let us be kind. And there's a saying, it says, in a world where you can be anything, it says, be kind.
Amen.
Be
Amen.
Kind.
Amen.
As simple as that. Amen.
And just going back to what I would have said earlier, good follows good. You show kindness will come back to you. And I know it is not easy. I mean, it might sound like we're saying, well, it's easy for you to be kind and loving. But in a world where it is growing more and more unkind and more unsocial, it is easy for us to go with the crowd and to go with what everybody, and you know, everybody's frustrated. You carry your frustration on other people. You're angry at all the time. You're angry at people. You know, snap at people who try to help you. It's natural to do that. But in a part of just, aside from just also doing good because you want good to also follow you back. Put yourselves in the shoes of the other person. How would they feel or how would they react? How would you react if you were met with that kind of aggression, if you were met with that kind of unkindness? For that moment, for that short while, before you snap, before you say something angry or say something that you might regret, just for that short moment, imagine what it would be like to be in that person's shoes. And I think the more we do that and the more we learn to break out of the habit of only thinking about ourselves, that eventually you begin to think twice before we say and do certain things. Because now you begin to say, well, I wouldn't want them to say that about me. I wouldn't want them to go on Facebook and blast me the way I was intending to do, or put it on your status or whatever it is. If you were in their shoes, would you want that to happen to you? And that is where we come back to do unto others as you have them do unto you. The moment we begin to think more on that is the less we would react in the negative ways that we tend to react sometimes.
Amen.
If I can say something else here, one of the points that I would like to bring across is the importance of people praying. I mean, whatever walks of life that people have come from, wherever they have been, whatever they have been through, whoever they are, you know, I want to encourage people to pray. To pray. Because when we started, we talked about the fact that people have issues. And I would like to say that people are broken. There are many broken people. I have been broken. You have been broken. You talk about your mother putting you out of the house and this and that. And if we were to pass around, everybody has a story. People are broken.
Yes.
I want to tell you that you don't have to go around being angry at everybody because of some bad stuff you experience in your life. Go to God. He's the maker. He's the creator. Let me tell you, nobody can fix us like Jesus can fix us.
Amen.
Nobody can set our lives in order like God can set our lives in order. I'm telling you, even for me, I have been in relationship where my life, my heart has been shattered,
Jesus,
in pieces, beyond repair. Sometimes I say, like, I think that I lost some of my mind capacity. I think I might be a little off the bat. You understand? But it's because of things that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
But until I came into contact with Jesus Christ and I allow God to have his way in my life, God began to put the pieces back together.
Amen.
That whereas I was a wreck and I couldn't even smile, I couldn't even laugh, I couldn't have a good conversation because of the brokenness. You understand? God began to put me back together and make me whole. That I have something to contribute and I can help somebody else and I can be kind. So pray. Get to that place where God becomes the first place in your life. And when he becomes first place, everything else going to fall into order. Amen.
Well, there is not a better note on which we could end on that note. Mm-hmm. Because I think that is something that's very important. Connecting ourselves spiritually in order to address. Because we sometimes think that, you know, the problems are just natural. But everything is connected to the spirit. And so once you can address it spiritually, you can also address it ultimately. As well. So thank you very much for that, Pastor. On that note, we end today's edition of Just Friends. I want to thank all our friends, Minister Karen, Nicole, Pastor Donna, and Pastor Riddell, for being on the show today and for really expressing the topic. And I hope we were able to help you and to provide some insights into your lives as it relates to kindness. Join us again next time when we have another interesting discussion. For now, we're just once a month, but soon we'll be increasing the frequency of our show. So please tell a friend to tell a friend about Just Friends, like our Facebook page, follow us on YouTube, and spread the word of Just Friends, the show. We'll be back with you next month for another exciting edition. God bless.